Tech Effect.
Welcome to Tech Effect, a monthly podcast series brought to you by Tesnolab. I'm Adrian, the host of the podcast, and together with industry experts, we provide discussions and advanced insights about trending topics in software engineering. Don't miss out on new episodes, and let's keep advancing your skills and knowledge set. In this podcast episode, we'll explore a vital subject of software accessibility testing. Together with our expert guest, Elina Šiškevića. And hello, Elina.
Hello.
How are you feeling today?
I'm fine, thank you.
As we know, Elina has extensive experience, right?
Right.
Not only in the accessibility, but also in other fields of testing.
Yes, I started as functional tester, quality assurance engineer. So yeah, and I extended my knowledge with accessibility testing. And this is what I'm working now.
Okay, and can you maybe tell us a bit about your experience in the field of accessibility testing?
So I'm working with accessibility testing more than 3 or 4 years. It's like my functional background, background of 8 years in functional testing. It's really helping me. So in accessibility, so it's we need to, when we are testing accessibility, we need to remember this is non-functional testing, and we need to remember that we need to change our
perspective.
Yeah, perspective. Yes, and my previous experience helps me to define and explain other colleagues from accessibility or from functional, or who started or working in accessibility, explain differences between functional and accessibility, because sometimes people are like trying to fill incorrect defects. Those are functional.
So they're misunderstood.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this is hard, I would say, if you are changing your path. So, but.
And how did you change your path? How did you get interested in accessibility testing?
Oh, I really don't remember now, but I would say 8 years in functional testing, it's enough. Like, you understand that maybe I need to learn something new.
So you got bored of the things for the functional testing and then you were, okay, what can switch?
Yes, I went like, I was also working in automation and in manual, in project management or leading something. And yes, it's interesting, but you know, there is like some point, okay, I need to try something else. Or management or something, or audio video testing, for example. Yep. Some people did. But at this time in our company, there was no accessibility testing, for example. Okay. Yeah. And there were some requests and or interest from our colleagues or clients. So that's how we started.
So did the management reach out to you, or you were like, okay, this is the key moment that I need to switch?
Yes, yes. Okay. It was like a key moment was later a bit. But reading articles, blogs, or something else, like speaking with my colleagues or friends also from IT field, I realized that accessibility is not so popular.
Yeah.
But it's critical. But in Latvia, it was not popular at all when I started working it.
So you mentioned reading blogs and articles. Maybe you could somehow say what resources did you use to learn the accessibility testing?
DEC University or Udemy courses. I also tried out them in some learning, in any learning platform. They have accessibility basics, and I started with them. But yeah, but the best materials were from the DEC, I think. And I have certification passed also. Oh. So before starting something, for me, my mindset is, before starting something, you need to read a lot. You need to understand from basis this topic, yeah, to make something, yeah, not like, let's try to like... fake it till you make it.
Okay.
It's not about me. So I need to get
deeper understanding
deeper
of the
understanding
things.
Knowledge. Yeah. You're totally right. Yeah. And I also finished certificates, IAAP. So this is International Association of Accessibility Professionals.
Okay.
I have certification from them. So basic, but this is general one about accessibility. What is accessibility? What is universal design?
So,
types of, Yeah.
So can you maybe explain what accessibility testing is and why it is necessary?
Yes, exactly. So accessibility testing, this is non-functional testing.
Okay, I understood that, yeah. Yes. It's two different things.
Yes, two different things. And accessibility, what is accessibility testing and accessibility? Accessibility, this is one of key components of good and qualitative product, digital product, not only digital, but we are speaking about digital, of course, websites or mobile applications or something else. And digital accessibility makes web content or software or some documents, for example, PDFs also, accessible to everyone, also including people with some disabilities. What it means?
So accessibility expands the user base.
Yes. Somehow, yeah, exactly. So if we are also talking about what is like usability, user experience and accessibility, we have also ICQB certification, and they have a usability tester certification, yeah. And how they are starting usability, what is usability, then what is user experience, and third topic is accessibility. So they are...
accessibility is like evaluating the software usability for different type of individuals with disabilities?
I would say this is different independent topic. This is related with usability. This covers usability, but accessibility is more like also usability. It's covering like we need to remember about people with disabilities, how we need to remember about types of disabilities, how we can help and which recommendations which are related with
So they can interact with the web pages effectively.
Yes.
Okay.
With digital products, not web pages.
Well, yeah, let's say digital products, different type of digital products. And what are the most common misconceptions that people have about accessibility testing?
The biggest problem is when product owners or, managers, they are sharing information that we didn't design our product for people with disabilities. Those people, like people with disabilities, they are not our potential users. But how do you know? This is where discrimination starts. Mm-hmm. Like how you know what kind of users, like with disabilities or without, who will use your application? For example, you are creating some application related with bicycles, for example. Mm-hmm. Okay, but yes, okay, maybe some parent with disability can want to register his or her child, to some competitions. Okay, maybe, but also there are possibilities for people with disabilities to ride and to participate in some competitions. So this is we need to remember that you never know which kind of disability and which you never know user, and you never know which kind of disability will have your user.
But also, isn't there a misconception from the product owner's side that the accessibility can be addressed only at the development process ending?
Yes, right. Sometimes people, like, this is also about, this is actual for testing overall. The biggest misconception is like when product owners or managers, they think that they can start testing and so like in finish of the project. Like, hey, let's develop, then test. And then most probably we have a perfect development team and they are creating a product without defects. Yeah, this is biggest like overall misconception. But about accessibility, also people like some client, no, not clients, like, it's like development people. Yeah, they think that we can cover this in the finish at the finish of the project or after release.
But if you put it at the when you release the product and only then do accessibility testing, it's going to be a lot more expensive money wise as well.
Yes.
So it's better for the product owner to include include the accessibility testing at the start of the project.
Yeah, exactly. Also on a design review level, when you have designs, it's also possible to fix some, for example, color contrast issues on design level.
I think we'll touch the issues a bit later, right?
Yeah.
So it's money-wise, you can save more money and expand the user base if you implement it at the start of the product.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
At least at some on some level, not full. For example, I don't know. Okay, we know that sometimes some defects can be found on testing or during development or like on beta or alpha testing. Yeah, it's okay, totally fine. But let's start thinking about accessibility at the start of the project, and also good way how to resolve this. To have education or learning about accessibility for development team and for designers. If designer who develops some, I don't know, sketches for this project, yeah, it can help to reduce some issues on accessibility level.
In your opinion, is the software industry lagging behind when it comes to accessibility testing?
It is.
So there is room for improvement.
Sure. I would say there is room to start for some companies because this topic is quite new. Like in some countries, it's not new. In the United States, for example, this is they have regulations, ADA, for example. Yeah, they are tracking how accessible is your product, for example. But in Europe, for example, but they like United States, they have a big background with working with people with disabilities. Yeah, they are integrated totally in so like in social life also. So in Europe, I would say we started later this, and now we are working. Now we have directive for example, actual for governmental institutions, but it should will be actual in 2025, starting 2025. So we have something in progress, and about speaking about digital accessibility, yes, I still have people in my circle, for example, who don't know, or and front-end designers, for example, or front-end developers, so they don't know what is accessibility. They don't know, or they know on super high level, but they have no accessibility testing in their project. They have no accessibility person who is tracking this, who is leading this accessibility, who is creating some courses or education materials. Yeah, so I would say there is big room for improvement.
So there's improvement for upgrading, or let's say develop your best practices throughout your development cycle inside the product.
Yes.
Okay. And if we continue speaking about, we are continuing speaking about accessibility, right? So what types of accessibility testing are there? Because you mentioned there's digital accessibility. So that means there's something different as well, right?
I would say we can create a couple of types. We are
like manual testing and automated in that way.
Yes, okay. Exactly, yeah. Better to speak like in this case. So we have automated testing. We have manual testing. Usability testing also can be somehow related, in this.
Usability is like user testing, maybe, done?
Yes, exactly, okay. Then assistive technology testing, for example. We are combining manual and assistive technology testing together because we need real accessibility specialist who is going to through some scenarios, manually, and assistive technologies. It means that we need to enable screen reader, for example, and go through some scenarios or in this product manually.
So you have a scenario, and then you have defined a checklist for what should be in exactly a matrix in exactly each step, right?
Yep, exactly.
How about automated testing?
Accessibility, we're speaking about accessibility, it's hard because there are a lot of scenarios which can't be automated.
Okay.
We need to run assistive technologies, we need to run some tests with screen readers, and it's possible to automate, but automation is still possible. For example, we can test if alternative texts are here, color contrast.
So do assertions of some of the things. And how about user testing? Can you automate maybe some of the cases as well for different disabilities?
It depends. No, I would say it's possible to automate. Like if we are speaking about automation, yeah, or about accessibility testing, we are using WCAG recommendations.
Yeah.
And those recommendations have some specific scenarios. And not all the recommendations can be automated at all, but user testing or those scenarios, yeah, like from real life, they include different recommendations from this WCAG.
Then yeah, so for those that don't know, WCAG is Web Content Accessibility Guidelines.
Yes.
Yeah. So if we started to speak about that side, maybe you could discuss some of the guidelines or specifications for accessibility.
Yes, we can. So we need to remember that WCAG has four principles.
Yeah.
Like perceivable, operable, understandable, and robust.
Mm-hmm.
And every principle has recommendations in like inserted some in this principle.
Okay.
Yeah. And I would say most interesting for us are recommendations related with screen readers, or but most critical, and what you can start testing your product, for example, yeah, or someone, contrast issues,
yeah.
Contrast-related recommendations, because you need to ensure that your text and non-text content is okay with contrast. If people with low vision or some, other vision disabilities, they will be able to see your content and read without any specific actions to increase or something else, to increase font or something else, yeah. Then missing alternative text for images. This is also related with screen readers. For example, mm-hmm. screen reader picks and or focuses or on some image,
yeah.
And it reads image or QRT,
okay.
Like incorrect alternative text, yeah.
So it doesn't just give any idea what on the image it is.
Exactly. And
so these are the most common digital accessibility issues, right, that needs to be checked?
Speaking about issues, yes. I would say this, low contrast.
Yeah, that's issue number one.
Yes, or icons. Missing alternative text for images, for example. Then empty links. Or non-informative links. Most probably you saw links. Click here. Click here to read about, read more.
Well, yeah, I have seen that. It's alt text, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So this text, this problem is still actual, and people like in some informative web pages or some, like if you are reading some instructions, click here and link it. This is link to read about accessibility testing, for example, yeah. And the correct way here to select like link text, hold this text, for example, click
yep.
here. For a read about
and give a bit short summary.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Where no, it's okay. It's fine. Like to select whole this sentence. Yeah. But it's not okay when you're selecting like link, click here text, or read more. It doesn't make sense.
But if you have like link to read more, and then you have the alt text that describes everything that's going to be in the next page.
But it doesn't make sense when you are, for example, iOS or macOS, they have screen reader, voiceover, and you have rotor. This is menu for quick navigating between some UI elements, for example, and between links, yeah? And then when you are enabling rotor, you are going to links menu, and you see click here, click here, click here. So screen reader picks text of this link.
Oh, okay. So it's going to describe the text. Okay,
yes.
Understood that.
So this text should be describing by default what you are clicking and what you are reading about.
Okay.
Then missing like empty buttons, sometimes also incorrect roles using, sometimes some like it's okay from developer side to create some specific UI element, new.
So inconsistent navigation?
Inconsistent roles.
Inconsistent roles.
Div, for example, yeah.
Oh, so incorrect headings and stuff like that.
Headings also, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
if for example, a company doesn't check these issues, right? They haven't checked them, they pushed it to production, everything's great, they haven't done accessibility. And are there any penalties or fines for non-compliance with accessibility regulations?
Yep, good question. But yes, I would say it depends on country.
Yeah.
Because in the United States, they have ADA, and it depends on how critical are those errors or, like, I don't know, failures from accessibility side. Yeah, we have our own directive in the European Union, but it will be dependent on country.
Okay.
So yeah, penalties will be or are in place, but it depends on country we are speaking. Like Sweden will be one penalty, Latvia will be depending on our governmental statements.
Yeah, governmental requests, recommendations, and stuff like that. Okay, and can you maybe discuss some of the use cases for different disabilities, such as the vision, physical hearing, and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for example, if speaking about vision disabilities, which recommendations or cases are actual? Of course, we need to remember that people are not able to see all the text, and most probably they are using screen readers when they are trying to operate with our page. And we need to remember that we need to avoid cases when we are not covering non-text information with text. What it means, like if we have informational images, we need to provide informative alt text. If our image is non-informative, skip with a screen reader. Do not focus at all on this. This is non-informative, decorative. Okay. We need to provide text alternatives. For example, let's imagine that we have video, but if a person is not able to enable volume, like, I don't know, speakers or something else, most probably this person will go and search for text alternative for this video, for captions, for example, or like a text alternative, really text description of this video, and screen reader will read out this text description. Persons with low vision, we need to ensure that Zoom is working correctly. Yeah, we are not losing some functionality of web page when we are zooming.
Okay, there's also probably high contrast as well.
Yes, exactly.
I love actually to put high contrast on my laptop, because I can read better.
Yes, exactly.
So, and I know that some pages you open up and you're like, there's some image, and the image is, you just can't see the image, and you're like, why I can't see the image? And then you change the settings back to normal. And, oh, there's actually an image.
yeah, exactly. This is an actual scenario for people with vision disabilities. If we're speaking about hearing disabilities, of course, we need to provide captions. This is actual for people with disabilities, like with hearing disabilities, but also for us. Sometimes I need to check some video, but I have no possibility to hear, like listen to this, I don't know, not music, but some text, and I'm enabling my captions and I'm reading this. Actually, this is something must have already. Also for Instagram, for example, for YouTube or something else.
True. But,
yeah. So.
True.
This is something like this, and also avoid from scenarios. You need to avoid from scenarios when you are providing, like, hey, when you will hear, for example, some click, start working. You need to cover some. You need to provide some alternatives, like
to cover the most user cases.
Yes, exactly. Okay. If we are speaking about people with motor disabilities, we need to provide provide some alternative like buttons. If you have Google Maps, for example, you can go through this map or some place, I don't know, by drag and drop or something else by like your touchpad, but also you are able to navigate with buttons to left, right, top and bottom. This is good alternative which people with disabilities, they can use to operate. We need to remember that people sometimes, usually they are using some specific hardware like sometimes this is big one button, and this is working like tab. When you are thinking about people with disabilities, like your users, you need to think about it. Yeah? You need to test if you are.
You need to put yourself in their shoes.
Yes, this is actual for every testing, but yep. Also super actual for testing accessibility. But speaking about motor, test if all your UI elements can be focused by tabbing.
Okay. Yeah.
That this means that you can operate then. Most probably, you need, of course, space, like activate by enter or space or something else. But if you can focus, most probably this element can be triggered and activated. So, yeah.
Okay. And are there any success criterias for starting the accessibility testing?
Yes, it was like actual a question for us when we started also.
Okay.
Super good when you have some specific hardware for testing, of course, and that's why we have some accessibility devices, like we have a Braille keyboard. This is super good when then you can test and to give some for some people who knows Braille language, yeah, for example, to test if it does make sense. Of course, we have these buttons, accessibility, devices, and we are testing if this product can be operated with these devices. Then, of course, for starting accessibility, doing accessibility, you need to use screen readers. And this is also a success criteria when your team knows how working with screen readers, what are most popular scenarios, what are some specific keys and shortcuts using, they knows what are most popular scenarios when you are testing, how people with disabilities are using those screen readers, yeah. And of course, what also helps, we have physical devices. We have a lot of physical devices.
But that means that if you are, for example, a small company and you have you're tight on budget, let's say you have created a whole like system that, hey, we're going to for development that type of sum and testing that. If you want to do internal testing, it's going to be quite a huge sum to invest, no?
Yes. And you need to invest time and money in some courses or knowledge about testing, accessibility testing. And sometimes if you are learning on accessibility testing, yeah, like how to work with this, you spend a lot of time.
So that's maybe why a lot of companies doesn't implement the accessibility inside their development cycle, because they don't see maybe the benefit versus the money.
No, I would say maybe they like, okay,
it's
no benefit. Sometimes it's better to have some person outside, maybe, yeah, or some agent or
outsourcing it.
Who can give some suggestions or who can provide some consultations of how to start. If speaking about testing overall, also, yeah, and functional testing, it's not super easy. You need to understand all the requirements, and sometimes you need to know specific software, how to work with something, specific software or something else. That's why we have testing services. This is the same about accessibility, but accessibility is more specific, of course. And sometimes, you need to plan. You need to get known with some people. You need to make research, make some search some for some companies who are doing this. You can arrange some consultation, and you can use those consultation results during your testing. Then you can you can run some audit or, I don't know, it depends on company structure, of course, yeah. But if this is expensive, this is not so expensive if we're comparing with functional testing, for example, or load testing. Yeah?
Okay, yeah.
I would say this is on the same level. Yes, this is specific as load testing, but it makes sense to run on some levels, of course.
But probably everyone including developers, testers, functional testers, for example, everyone should know the basics of accessibility.
I would say yes.
So everyone should learn it.
I would say
even if you're not fully into accessibility testing, you should do at least try
at
to
least
do your best.
Understand the biggest challenge and main problem. Because sometime, I would say, also in Latvia and also in Europe, people with disabilities, they were invisible.
Yeah, left out.
Yes, exactly.
That's quite sad.
Yep. True. So we need to remember that they were sitting at home and there were no possibilities to do something outside. The same about digital products. We need to remember that they are the same people with the same rights, and we need to provide the same rights them to use our products.
We need to improve the overall user experience by making it more accessible to everyone.
This is not only about digital, but overall, worldwide, and in all the spheres. But
true. Okay, and let's go forward. If we're speaking about the tools, what are some tools that are commonly used for the accessibility testing?
Uh-huh. So, what we are using here in our daily basis, on our daily basis. So those are screen readers of course, and screen reader selecting, it depends on operating system we are using and browsers also. We are using also some browser extensions to help us to do this job faster. And for example, Wave browser extension, or accessibility insights for web, or color contrast checkers or something else. But we need to remember that sometimes also those extensions can pick color incorrectly, for example. Maybe they have different levels or layouts, for example.
Yeah.
Yes, and sometimes you need to double check. Sometimes those extensions are not able to, they are passing with something, but if you are going manually, there is some a bug or error related with accessibility. So yes, it helps. Of course, we can use some results, but also we are double checking sometimes, but we can't, use those results in our reports. For example, all the information we are double checking here.
I remember we spoke. Well, you said that automated testing, right? It's not quite. It can detect all accessibility issues, and it can't really replicate the real user experience. Also.
No. I would say automated testing can be and should be used during accessibility testing. Yeah. There are a lot of not a lot. We were comparing with functional testing.
Okay.
There are libraries which can be used, but we need to also remember those checks can be used during maybe new releases again. Yeah. But before new releases, you can check color contrast. If some elements receive some focus, alternative text, alternative text. Automation can check if alternative tag, alt text is here, but automation can't check if this is correct. For in this case, for example, you have image with the dogs are playing or something else. Yeah,
maybe in the future.
In future, yes.
If we speak about the future, how do you think can AI be used to improve the digital accessibility?
So if we are speaking about testing, I would say AI can help, for example, testing for some alternative texts.
Yep.
Of course, yeah. If we are speaking about accessibility overall, I would say it can help. Of course, and for example, AI can trigger and create some alternative text for images, or create some captions, auto-generated captions, because this is quite big problem. For example, with English, no, some services are providing auto-generated captions, but not for all the languages. Most probably AI will resolve this problem.
Okay, and, that's from the which side, which perspective side? Because AI can detect also the issues that you don't have alt text, right?
Yes,
it can detect that images. Which side we're discussing now?
This is user side.
User side. Okay, user experience side.
It can be helpful for users because they will be able to select to read, for example, captions auto-generated from different languages.
Okay, that's for the case if the, for example, let's take a web page if it doesn't have great accessibility testing beforehand. But let's say that we are on the other side of the fence for the development auto testing.
Yeah.
How can AI benefit in that field? I just had a quick thought, for example.
I would say most probably there will be some libraries
which can
generate some texts or captions, and we can use those libraries. And for example, autocomplete, registration, for example, and face recognition. Maybe there will be some possibilities to, it's actual for people with some memory problems also, or I don't know, mental problems. Also for me, it's hard to remember all the passwords. Really.
Just use password manager.
Yeah.
Come on.
In all the cases, But it's also about accessibility. Some login types or something else. So AI can help with this, with face recognition or voice recognition. And it can be, maybe, I hope it will be easier for developers to implement.
So maybe if developers include the AI in their side, they can, as you said, generate different text for images. They can analyze the content of the web page. If we take web page, for example, if it's readable, it can check the contrast and do practically everything.
But the contrast can be checked without AI, but yes.
So we talked about the automated testing and the manual testing. When is it better to actually opt for manual versus automated?
We need to remember that we need to combine both automation when it's possible and manual.
Okay.
When it's better. There is no correct answer to this question. It depends on software development also, life cycle, It depends. So, but the right thing and the main thing we need to remember, try to select, if we are going through WCAG recommendations, which are actual for your product, when you're creating scenarios, point somewhere, yes, it can be, and most probably for the first time, it should be tested manually, but it can be automated and provide some expected results for this. And then, you can start.
But as we know, there can be a lot of false positives from automated testing as well.
Yes, we need to remember about this.
So if you want to, so the better is to opt for manual testing to verify these false positives and the negatives from the testing, right?
But then question why we need to invest some money or time in automation. So that's why by doing this first testing manual, it's super critical to select right scenarios for automation and right criteria recommendations.
So if you have really complex scenarios, then you need to also do manual testing. You can't really automate that, right?
No. It depends on recommendation. You can, but not for all the recommendations.
Okay, and the next question from my side is, how can accessibility testing be integrated into development workflow?
Yeah, but it's a super good question because this is what we are also doing and providing some, we have new project, it's we have analysis part of actual status.
Okay.
Or if they are, this is a project before release, or this is something ongoing, or this is start of development. Yeah. So of course, better to start start accessibility as earlier as possible.
okay.
on design level. So, but in reality, how it can be done, we are doing some audit for a web page or for a product, for example, yeah. Then we're providing results. Then client, product owners or some managers or leads, yeah, they are reviewing the, this scope and all the like defects list, for example. Then we can group those issues like depending on AAA or AAA WCAG level, yeah. It means that A level is most critical and most probably those issues should be fixed as soon as possible because this is critical. This is a super basic level, not like intermediate. Then product, someone from a product team creating backlog. And then we are integrating and we are providing a team or one engineer or two engineers, yeah, who is starting working on these issues. Developers are fixing, we are retesting, or any company accessibility specialist is working with this fixing, retesting, providing new information. Then what can else people do? It's review design of new features. As we remember, the like biggest part, not biggest, but big part of some issues can be fixed at least triggered. And people from design team, they are starting thinking about this.
If we're talking about that one, which development approach would be the best with accessibility?
Also, agile, it's working super fine.
Okay.
So I would say it's no different between functional or accessibility testing.
Okay.
It should not be like some like you're developing something in agile, then one run with accessibility testing. No, you need to fix, you need to retest, you
okay.
need to test in production or something else, like somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So agile is, I would say this is also most probably best for developing something new
mm-hmm.
or adding something mm-hmm. new to existing. So, and accessibility testing works well in agile. Yeah, sure. We have backlog for accessibility. We are selecting some 2 or 5 accessibility issues for 2 weeks, for example. Yeah, developers are fixing. Then accessibility specialist is testing, providing actual status about this issue. Then we're retesting this after release, for example. Yeah, developers can cover some things with automation.
So developers need to have trained beforehand with the accessibility best practices. That would be one thing to include in development workflow,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Then to have best approaches to have agile development cycle.
It depends, but yes.
It would be the best one. And also then, as you said, automation.
Yes.
So
the automation, we remember that automation
this
is covering super
complex
small,
thing.
And
also as well for automation, then we include the manual testing in some cases during development. Well, on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Okay, that would be the summary for that. Well, that's a quick summary, right? As
of
understood
course.
From you.
Yeah.
You said about designing. What are some best practices for designing accessible prototypes?
The best practice for designing accessible prototype is a designer which knows about accessibility.
Okay.
At least like on good level, I would say. So,
yeah.
Of course. Creating these designs by interacting with an accessibility specialist who can review all this. And yeah, like also good practice to send for these prototypes for review. For people who are working in accessibility, they will review this, provide these designs, will provide comments or questions, for example.
So designer needs to actually know all the colors for the website that will be...
But they are providing this information.
Well, they're providing, yeah, but... Never mind.
When you are designing and you are selecting color palette, for example,
yeah.
you need to remember about color contrast for text or non-text. Yep.
If you don't know that, then it's quite tricky in a later stage.
Yeah, it's okay. But then it's hard to fix when you have some actual project which has a lot of users, for example, and then you realize that you are lacking with a color contrast.
Okay.
It's super hard and like really hard to change color colors in your existing application.
Okay, and last question, maybe last question, I don't know, maybe I'll think of something else. How do you think digital accessibility testing will evolve in the nearest future?
We can speak about it from different perspectives.
Yeah.
But I hope, like, first of all, I hope really, as we discussed before, AI will help provide some more accessible features.
Okay.
For example, chatbots. It can be also helpful, but if they, those chatbots will of course, function in well.
So from both sides, I think it will be great, right? AI could help improve testing, and it can also help for the people with disabilities.
We will be able to use this knowledge of okay. accessibility. Then a second, like involving, like, and not reducing, but providing more accessible products, it will help
to a wider audience.
Wider range of people. Yeah.
Okay.
We are reducing this. By providing more accessible solutions, digital solutions, we are reducing this discrimination overall, digital world also, and people will be able to read, to use products,
yep.
to participate in not social life, but in digital life. So I know that the gaming industry is also has like great support for accessibility, and people can game can do something.
Yep.
And I hope that, for example, governmental institutions will be more responsive because those systems are quite complex, and
true.
It's really hard also. Like, it's hard to understand what you need and where you need to find or search or something, overall. But I would say this is more harder for people with disabilities. And if they have incorrect, for example, if they have some issues with a focus order.
So everyone who creates the product need to enhance the collaboration between the testers and developers. And to ensure that the software that you will push to production is accessible to more people and they can actually enjoy it. And it meets all of the user needs for the user, regardless of their abilities.
Yeah, and by providing accessible product, you are increasing usability, user experience, user experience as well. And from marketing, like Google likes more accessible pages.
True. Okay, thank you. Thanks to all who joined our chat with Elena, that we discussed a topic on software accessibility testing and a bit of the regulations as well. We appreciate our support. Follow our podcast on Spotify or YouTube for more expert insights. Share feedback, suggestions, and connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn by searching us by the name TestDevLab. And keep advancing your skill set, and see you with the next time.
See you.
Thank you.
Thank you.